Coming to this first session of today. I am Amber Pearson, and I'm from, I'm a health geographer from Michigan State University with a joint appointment at the University of Otago, which is in the capital city, Wellington, of New Zealand. So I have moved between institutions between the time I registered for this conference. So this is my first APHA. I was really excited to have the theme healthography as a geographer. So I conducted this research alongside Daniel Knutsford, Femke Reitsma, and Simon Kingham at the University of Canterbury in Christchurch, New Zealand. So the title of my talk is slightly different from what was in your book. This project was nested within a larger project. So we were interested in the potential health benefits of visibility of blue space, and by that I mean water bodies, so oceanic and freshwater sources, and also green space, and potential mental health benefits, not just physical health benefits. And so today I'm only going to present about the blue space, but I'm happy to talk to you about the green space work. So the reasons for conducting this kind of research were, first off, major depressive disorder is the second leading cause of disability worldwide, and that's from the most recent Global Burden of Disease study from 2010. And if any of you are mental health experts, I am not, but anxiety and depression are often precursors for a number of physical health problems like asthma, arthritis, diabetes, stroke, and heart disease. So in and of itself, it's important, as well as potential other health outcomes related. And we also have increasing globalization, urbanization globally. This means that if we can identify features of the urban environment, which could potentially be amenable to change, we could make a difference in the mental health burden. So the ways that this relationship might work, so a potential causal pathway between visibility of blue space and mental health benefits, really work through the therapeutic or salutogenic effects. So decreased psychological stress could happen through the calming backdrop of a blue space in contrast, specifically in an urban environment, to that built-up infrastructure. And the way this could work is through lower levels of sensory stimuli as a way of promoting mental relaxation. And there's some evidence to suggest that mental brain processes human brain processes natural environments different to the way it processes urban features, which increase, and it's more efficient, so there's more time for brain relaxation. And there's also some evidence that there's an innate genetic imperative to favor natural environments due to evolutionary subconscious association with key resources. So this is the pathway through which visibility, viewing, blue space might reap mental health benefits. So this is the study area. So I wish I had a clicker. So on the inset map is the two islands of New Zealand. So there's a North Island and a South Island. And then we have a study region, which is Wellington, which is in the lower part of the North Island. It's the capital city of New Zealand. And you can also see that on three sides, it's surrounded by ocean. So we used a cross-sectional survey, a national health survey from New Zealand, and about 450 of those participants were from Wellington, so we selected those people. These are adults over 15 years old. And within that survey, there's all sorts of information, and part of the information includes self-reported health. And we were interested in what are called K-10 scores. So this is a measure of psychological distress, whereby higher values equal higher stress. And we also developed a novel geospatial technique for quantifying visibility. So we used digital data about the location of water, and most of the water, 99.7% of it, is oceanic. So there are a few freshwater sources, but lots of ocean. And we wanted to ask the question, linking these two data sets, we wanted to ask the question, is increased visibility of blue space associated with lower psychological distress? after adjusting for relevant individual and also area level covariates. So we developed this new measure of visibility, and we are calling it the Vertical Visibility Index. And there's other viewshed analyses out there you may be familiar with. And this improves upon those because it accounts for slope, aspect, distance, and elevation of visible areas to the observer location. So it's specifically designed to quantify visibility from a human perspective. And we developed a visibility score, which we transformed into deciles. So 1 is the lowest 10% of visibility scores, and 10 is the highest. So as values increase, that's increasing visibility. And then we assign these values to every observer location, which were the centroids of small areas, population-weighted centroids, so where most people live within a very small area. Probably maybe a quarter of a census tract in an urban area. And we assigned, so those are the vantage points, and we assigned visibility values across the entire study region. And then we nested people in those areas. And then we fitted a regression model. So we used a cluster robust linear regression model, and we used the visibility of blue space, that novel measure, as our predictor of interest, and then the K-10 scores as our outcome of interest, and we adjusted for age, sex, personal income, and also some neighborhood information, so neighborhood population density, crime, and also neighborhood deprivation, so an area-level measure of socioeconomic status. So these are the participants. So you can see that there were a higher percentage of females involved in the study. And then looking at the participants by age, the majority of participants were in the youngest age group, 15 to 44, but no difference really between the sexes, and far fewer in the oldest age group. And looking at ethnicity, Maori indigenous people in New Zealand, and very similar percentages across the sexes, and also 10%, there's 10% Māori nationally as well, so it's representative nationally. Looking at personal income, males tended to make higher income, personal income than females, and we have the largest percentages for females in the lowest group and the largest percentage for males in the highest income earning group, 71,000. And notice that there's also about 20% missing data for the personal income. So I could talk to you more about this if you're interested, but we used multiple chained equations to impute the missing data. So these are the regression results from our cluster robust linear regression model. And you can see that there's an independent negative association between visible blue space and K-10 scores. So here, lower K-10 values equal lower distress. So, and then we also saw a significant association, an independent one, of personal income and K-10 scores. So both of these were negative associations. So in other words, for every 10% increase in visibility, we would expect a 0.32 lower K-10 score. And we also saw a negative association with personal income. So there's a number of limitations, and I'd like to raise a few of them that I think are important. The first is this is a cross-sectional study. We don't know how long people have been living in the environment before they were captured in the survey. And, you know, if we think about this, it's probably you're not receiving the benefits immediately when you are looking at blue space, so there's a potential that longer increased exposure over time could reap the benefits, or they could be more easily measured. And then we also only measured residential exposure to blue space. So, sorry, that cursor's been on there the whole time. So we didn't measure the work environments. We didn't measure the commuting patterns. So on route, you could be exposed. Some people sit in traffic a long time. So, you know, future studies could not only capture their exposure at these other in these other locations, schools, work, but also how much time is spent in each location. And without doubt, there's probably some residual confounding going on here between personal income and neighborhood deprivation and then visibility of blue space. And particularly in New Zealand, there it's really hard to untangle the neighborhood deprivation, personal income, ethnicity association. So, you know, places with oceanic views tend to have higher house prices, and places with higher house prices tend to be lower neighborhood deprivation areas, people who live there tend to have higher personal income. And then we also observe that significant association between personal income and distress. So we know there's something going on there. But I would argue that even if the effect was halved, say, to account for this residual confounding that we're pretty sure there's some going on there, we're still going to see an expected decrease in the K-10 score of 0.32 for a 20% increase in visibility of blue space. So just a couple conclusions. So increased visibility of blue space could promote mental well-being and reduce distress in cities. But to avoid the wealthy taking advantage of these potential, only the wealthy taking advantage of these potential benefits, there's a few recommendations, and these could be more easily adopted in some contexts than in others, but I think New Zealand is a good example for a place where there's been a lot of strategic locations for state housing, so this could be another example. And also there could be designations for a certain percentage of affordable homes in urban locations with ocean views, and you could also designate certain levels in multifamily high-rises for affordable housing. Thank you. There's my contact information.
I have a question, actually. So you mentioned that in the location where you did the study, over 99% of the blue space visibility was oceanic.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea or sense of well, that would transfer to places where a much lower proportion of the blue space visibility is oceanic and is riverway or lake or that kind of.
Can you repeat the question?
Yes, I will. I'll repeat it. Sue was asking that, you know, in this particular case, almost all the water is oceanic. But how would that translate to places that have a lot of fresh water, or maybe a more of a mix? You know, I'm just speculating because we didn't do it. But, I mean, I think it's more about quantity and than it is the type. But the difference is that if you've got, I mean, for ocean, so we looked 15 kilometers out. Mm-hmm. That's how far we estimated humans could see. So the ocean obviously can go, so maybe the Great Lakes, you would get that. But there's not a lot of freshwater sources where you'd have that same amount of visibility. But I don't know that the type of water, fresh versus salt, actually matters. In theory, for the salutogenic effect, you would think it'd be the same. Somewhat. So I'll just speak to that for a minute. We looked at green space, and we did the similar sort of analyses, but we also broke it down by distance bands. We did this for blue space, too, but there wasn't much of a difference because it's all ocean, so you can see all of it at all the distance bands. But we did this for green space, and we broke it also down by total green space and usable green space. By usable green space, I mean sports fields, parks, places where you can engage in physical activity, versus more natural, like forests, and everything that would be included in total green space. So we did that. We didn't include backyard gardens, which in this particular location, there are lots. It's a very green setting. So what we found is we found a positive mental health benefit of distant green spaces. So over 3 kilometers away, up to 15K. Those were the significant distance bands, not the proximity. But that could be because there's lots of greenery everywhere, so it's hard to kind of tease that out. We also theorized that because the distant green spaces tend to be native bush forests, that could have a different effect than looking at a sports field. So we mentioned that as a limitation, that we don't know how much time people spend at home, and we also don't measure their exposure at work, which a lot of people in Wellington are probably exposed at work because the downtown sits right on the water. So we didn't capture that, but you're absolutely right. Exposure time would vary. And we also didn't incorporate, our visibility measure is sort of like under good conditions. So you could have, like, fog, you wouldn't see it. So we didn't account for any of that, but we did, like, obstructions, physical obstructions, like buildings and, yes.
Yes.
That is a really interesting point, and we did not incorporate that. I'm trying to think. You could technically live far away and still view it, but that is really an interesting point that is different to freshwater. Yes. Well, we do have that distance is part of the measure, but we did do distance bands for visibility, which you would think if it was a stronger effect when it was closer that you'd get that, but I need to think about that some more. That's a really interesting point.